Let us pray. Father, thank you that in your mercy and your generosity, your lavish generosity, that you give and give and give again. And thank you for how frequently you save the best to last. Give us courage and stamina and faith to be true to you until the very last, when you come to judge the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to talk about the buoyancy in the word yes. We started with Jesus' yes to the call of love. You are my son, whom I dearly love, and in you I am very well pleased. What a calling. Before you've ever done a miracle, before you've ever given a teaching, before you've ever declared anything, you. I believe he's saying that to us through his Spirit still. Everyone he calls, you. And then we moved on into Mary's life, looking at some life lessons in the her journey via Carla Waterman's book, Songs of Ascent, Songs of Yes, ways that Mary found to say yes. And we looked at the yes that is in simplicity, and we looked at the yes that's in receptivity and in confidence and in wisdom. And this morning, buoyancy. Hey, do you like that word as much as I do? How many remember every time that the U comes before the O and then comes a Y? I have misspelled that word as many times as I've misspelled any word in the English language. I love the word buoyancy. It's even fun to say. Now, how many of us have at some point, this is not an endorsement of any late night talk show host, but how many of us at some point have watched Will It Float on David Letterman? Will It Float? For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, they have a big tank of water, or they had, that show has gone the way of the buffalo now, but they had this big tank of water, and they would sort of kind of wager with each other. They're going to toss something in there, whether it's a bale of hay, a clock radio, a television set, all different kinds of things, a big case of Hershey's chocolate bars. You never knew what it was going to be, a big other jug of water. I mean, anything you can imagine. They would, Brown Robin, whenever they did Will It Float, they would toss something in there, and then everybody, for whatever reason, would be wildly excited to see whether or not it would float or not. Well, floating is what buoyancy is all about. Now, how many of you have ever been tubing on a river? Ah, that's a little bit more popular pastime than Letterman. That's good. That's a healthy sign. Although even when my pastor in the 80s was chiding me for watching Letterman and Saturday Night Live, it was a guilty pleasure, I'll have to admit. In Texas, we used to love tubing on the dry Frio River in the hill country, and also on the river that runs through New Braunfels. In fact, in New Braunfels, they have a water park called Schlitterbahn. This is in the Texas. Oh, you've been to Schlitterbahn? Anyone else been to Schlitterbahn? Oh, this is a wonder. It's a contemporary wonder. They've made a water park out of a river. And so it feels like it belongs there in nature, all these huge slides and flumes and all this stuff. And when you get on the tube and you begin to float around the river, oh, I know Creedence Clearwater was really excited about rolling on the river, but it ain't nothing to tubing on the river. And you learn what buoyancy is all about. It has a number of different synonyms that we could go through, but I'm just going to talk about one of them. And it was listed last, and it's my favorite. Listed last as a possible synonym for buoyancy is cheerfulness. Cheerfulness. What a valuable commodity cheerfulness is. I want to refer for a moment to Hebrews 12:2. We all know this scripture, but it's always worth coming back and contemplating again. For the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame. For the joy that was set before him. And that Greek word joy, I understand there are several Greek words that are translated some form of joy or cheer in the New Testament. Now, some of them imply more courage. Jesus said, be of good cheer. You know, don't fear. Be of good courage. I've overcome the world. There's a joy there, that cheer. There's another one that's used that implies more exultant joy, more exuberance. This one is talking about just plain joy, calm delight, gladness, and cheer. It's the same one that's the fruit of the Spirit, joy, in Paul's letter to the Galatians. Well, how did Jesus do this? How did he manage to keep his eye so on the joy that was on the other side of the cross so that he could actually endure that pain and scorn its shame? And I think the key is in that word from where we get the Greek word kenosis in Philippians 2. You start by saying yes. He hears the call of love and he responds yes. And then he begins the emptying. Now, I've always tried to be a giver because I grew up. From the time I was 4 years old, I was in the church, started hearing about tithing, about offerings, about giving yourself away. When you're a little kid and you first start hearing that, it makes sense to you. And for grown-ups to encounter it for the first time, maybe not so much. But I had a renewal of that a couple years ago. We met a woman, very unusual circumstances, it seemed completely accidental, a woman who's very wealthy. And we ended up being the beneficiaries of her generosity by spending most of last September celebrating our 44th wedding anniversary in a very beautiful beach home on Grace Bay that's on Providenciales in the Turks and Caicos Islands. And that, her generosity, when we read the guest book of other people who were staying there, families, friends, people they went to church with, and we figured out that some of the people that stayed there were strangers that she had just met. Intentional, lavish generosity. Well, you know what that did to us? It was contagious. It was infectious. And we began to look for other ways to intentionally and energetically, in a focused way, trying as best as we could to be led by the Holy Spirit, to give more of ourselves away, whether it's finances, physical assets, time, prayer. And do you know what comes out of that? Joy. Cheerfulness. I posted a note on Facebook last Thanksgiving. And I said, you want to have the happiest Thanksgiving you've ever had? We say happy Thanksgiving to each other. You want to have a really, really happy one? A cheerful one full of more cheer than you've ever imagined? Start praying right now. Start imagining. If you're in a family with a spouse or whatever, start chatting and prayerfully ask, Lord, who do you want us to give it to? Where do we start giving it away? And what we've noticed is that when we give generously, it impacts other people the same way. It's contagious with them, and they start looking how they can give. And so you start with yes, and then you move through whatever pain of loss of giving that's in the self-emptying, meaning less of me and more to others. And you don't have to be wealthy to do this. There was a church, a Latino church in Nashville, where the pastor and I became friends, Herman Castro, and two of his nephews have gone through this program. I think one lives in California. I can't remember the other. But we were going over to take some, I think we had bought some coats for their clothing pantry, because their church ministers to a lot of very, very impoverished people. I'm sure a lot of them are illegals. Whatever, they're needy. And so we were taking some things over there. It may have been food for their food pantry. And I saw in their fellowship hall all these boxes that they were packing. And I said, "Pastor Herman, what are these?" And he said, however poor our congregation is, he said, "We know congregations in Guatemala and Ecuador and other countries where there are people much, much poorer than we are. And so we're packing up boxes of goodies for their holiday celebration. We're packing clothes, we're packing food, all different kinds of things." That was a very poor, financially, a very poor congregation. But because they had been impacted by the generosity of others, and especially by the Lord's generosity, they began the self-emptying, the kenosis process of giving themselves away to others, some that they'd never even met, maybe in lands that they'd never even been to. And their joy, the exuberance of their joy in worship, it is full of cheerfulness, joy, gladness, calm, delight. I mean, it just overflows. And I strongly suspect, and this was the point that Carla made in her book, Songs of Ascent, about buoyancy. She believed that the story in John 2 was a brilliant example of the buoyancy of Mary. Because if you read, she gets some of those prickly words from her son there. And I don't think that her response was to disobey him. I don't think her response was to disregard him. I think that she was so full of the cheerfulness, the joy, the calm delight, that she could play her part in that kingdom event of just saying, "Just do whatever he tells you." Listen to the release in that. Just do whatever he tells you. And she moved from a yes in just herself. Remember where we started with her? How can this be? Asking the angel, how can this be? And she quickly moved through, after hearing the words of assurance and the prophetic words, to, "I'm your servant. Let it be to me according to your design." That's where the yes sprang up in her. But look what she does at this wedding feast. She lets her yes become a yes for the whole party, for a whole room full of friends and relatives. The yes got shared and it grew. Let's say yes, Lord, yes, to his will and to his way. Please prepare your hearts for a short season of silence.